you can dream up another being who can survive on their own and be a sustainable like organism, you know, that has a life and a liver and an ear and an eye, what else can we make in this world? We can do anything.
You're listening to the Feed Your Wild podcast, a conscious lifestyle show about all things nourishing for your body, mind, and soul. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, and join me for candid conversations with changemakers, exploring health and wellness, food as medicine, intuition and spirituality, and nature-based practices that will transform your health and feed all parts of your wild self. Hello and welcome back to Feed Your Wild. I'm so happy you are here. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, functional nutritionist, Akashic soul record reader and channeler, and intuitive nourishment guide. I am feeling so nourished today, to be honest, recording this introduction, having connected with our guest, Dorte's work once again, and really looking forward to sharing this with you. Last week, I had shared some big personal news on the podcast. If you tuned into the New Moon in Virgo episode, I share that I am pregnant and I am really loving and also challenged by this experience. And as you know, with this podcast, it really is an extension of all the things that I'm learning and I experience and people that I meet that I really want to share with you, with this community. And so right now, what is most alive is this journey through the initiation of pregnancy and eventually into motherhood. These topics aren't necessarily something that I had focused on before. Again, I don't have intention of making this into a pregnancy, birthing, motherhood podcast, but I do hope that anything that I share, no matter what life stage or phase you are in, that there's some pearls of wisdom. I really do love this conversation with Dorte. I think it's so rich and applies to all beings who create. And I know there's something in here for everyone. And in particular, for those who are carrying little babes in this time or who have carried them. And if you know someone, if you yourself are not that person, but you know someone who is and you feel that this would be helpful and supportive for them, share it out. Send them some love. Forward them this podcast through either your app or email or on Instagram. My handle is at Wildly Rooted. I usually publish a post on these episodes when they come out, so you can share it that way as well. I look forward to hearing some feedback from y'all on these new episodes. Today's guest, we have Dorte Sophie Royal. Dorte is the founder and creator of Moonwise.co. She's got an amazing podcast called Moonwise. And she and I actually met a little while ago back in Chicago through our mutual friend and mentor, Susan Lipschitz. If you've been a listener of the podcast for a while, you might be familiar with Susan. She's one of my dear teachers and mentors within the Akashic Records realm. And I had her on the podcast. I'll make sure to link up her interview in the show notes as well if you want to journey back to that. She was actually one of my very first guests the first week that I launched this podcast over 3 years ago. So it's an oldie, but it's such a goodie, and I recommend you check that out. And together, Susan and Dorte also offer some beautiful virtual moon circles. So if you're into that, highly recommend you check out and follow Moonwise on Instagram or online, and definitely her podcast. Today, Dorte's on the Feed Your Wild podcast talking about her latest book and project, called Rooted. And at the time of the actual interview with her, I did not receive the journal just yet. So I was really asking questions and inquiring from a place of total unknown and curiosity. And since then, I have received it and I've been diving in. And it's been so beautiful to have a container to prompt you and to hold you through some of these ineffable experiences and deeper transitions during pregnancy. What I really appreciate about this journal and workbook, really, and also Dorothy's perspective and the conversation that we have in this episode, is the spiritual journey and sort of energetic transformation that is inherent in this initiation that is pregnancy and into motherhood. You know, I can talk all day about the physical aspects, the nutrition and the herbs and how to support ourselves. And I definitely will offer resources on that. And we'd love to have more conversation on that if that's something that is of interest to you. So let me know. Keep me posted. You can always find me again, Instagram at wildlyrooted is probably the best place to send me a message or comment or DM. Just to let me know on the type of content that really resonates with you. But you know, this podcast is all about feeding all aspects of your wild self, and the spiritual, energetic, emotional aspects are so, so critical and not as readily talked about in any transition point in one's life, really. It's so easy to find information on what supplements and what foods are best supportive for something like pregnancy or postpartum or menopause, the different life phases that we might be experiencing and the transitions outside of ailments or challenges or diseases. And while there's also, when you look, a lot on the spiritual side of things, especially in terms of pregnancy resources, something that I really loved about Dorothy's offering is just how grounded it feels. So this is much more of an embodied exploration of this transition and experience versus something that can feel a bit more out there or airy-fairy or even goddessy, which, you know, I'm all about the goddess and I'm all about the spiritual and airy fairy, like that's my jam. But what I did notice is that it's really helpful for me to have something that is very grounding energetically during this process. And I feel that Rooted really offers that. So in this conversation, we talk about the story behind Rooted, how Dorothy came to birth this journal and her experience during pregnancy that was one of isolation and really wanting to support herself through the process. Dorothy shares so much about the shadowy bits that really came up for her during her pregnancy, especially shame, and how it drove her curiosity to explore the programming and the conditioning related to being pregnant, a sexual being, and a woman. We both share more about facing our shadows regarding productivity, worth, energy, and this passage from maiden to mother. Dorothy points out the greater impact of our dominant culture on this experience of pregnancy and birthing and motherhood, the severe lack of support, cycles, and rhythms that we're actually meant to experience, and how this can be a hindrance for us. Dorothy gives sage advice for calling in support in an age of isolation, separation, and disconnection, and how raising a baby really is a community effort. Dorothy shares about her experience commingling with her son's energy and the inner warriorship that she really embodied during pregnancy and what that has taught her. Throughout the conversation, Dorothy sprinkles wonderful ideas and components that she offers within Rooted, the journal, to really assist anyone in the pregnancy journey to get rooted and be held in a container that allows one to go into the depths that we are invited to go into on this journey. Dorothe also shares about her journey with postpartum depression and how the seeds were planted during pregnancy. So she gives some insight into that and her intention to heal herself and to really offer insight for others so that they may not necessarily have to experience the same kind of challenges that she did postpartum. Lastly, Dorothe shares her vision for a rooted community and the potential medicine of intergenerational support and more. There's so many gems in this conversation and quotables, and I'll make sure to have those in the show notes as well. Dorothe shares wonderful resources, and she has her own resource page on the Rooted Journal website. So I'll make sure to link up to all of that. And if you enjoy this conversation, we'd love your support, a shout out on Instagram. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, giving Future Wild a rating and review. It really helps to boost the algorithm, get Future Wild out to more people. And it's one of the best ways to support the podcast at this time. All right, so let's dive in. Without further ado, here we go with Dorothe Sophie Royal. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Feed Your Wild. I'm really looking forward to this conversation today. We have Dorothe Sophie Royal. Dorothe is a writer and media producer focusing on feminine wisdom, nature connection, and motherhood. She is the founder of Moonwise.co and host of the monthly Moonwise podcast. She is also the author of Rooted, a pregnancy journal honoring the inward path to motherhood, which launched this month, August 2021. Dorothe, thank you so much for coming on.
Hi, Vanessa. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here on the podcast, and I'm so excited to talk with you today.
Me too. I feel like it's been a long time coming. We've somewhat known each other, like have been acquaintances through our mutual friend, Susan Lipschitz. And I've had Susan on the podcast before. In the pre-recorded intro, I talk a little bit more about that. But we met in Chicago, oh my gosh, I don't even know how many years ago now. I can't even think, maybe like 7 or something like that. I don't know, like putting a number, because I'm like, how long have I been in Oregon? I've been in Oregon for like 4, and you're now in Oregon too, right?
Yeah, I'm in Portland, and I think it might have been 4 years because my son was probably 1 year old when we met in that women's circle.
Oh, okay, beautiful. So amazing. Yeah, it was probably when I was visiting in on a moon circle together. So that's where we met. And then you also moved to Oregon, which unfortunately, like where I'm at, Portland's still kind of far. So like all my friends in Portland, I never get to see you guys. But anyway, I'm really happy to finally have you on. I knew that there was going to be a moment that was really synergistic and that we felt called to come together. So I'm glad that day has come. Finally. So,
yeah, I love it when that happens.
I know. So, Dorothe, I'm really looking forward to diving in with what's been cooking up for you lately, which is your latest project, Rooted. And I pre-ordered the book. So by the time this episode goes out, I would have had and received the journal. But at the time of this recording, I don't, which is going to make it a really fun interview because I am totally in the unknown and in anticipation of receiving it. But I'd love to first start off with the story behind Rooted. Well, first, what is Rooted? And then the journey of how you came to create this beautiful journal.
Yeah, so Rooted is a weekly pregnancy journal on path to motherhood. And it's a print booklet, basically, that is full of prompts, drawing, exercises, meditations, quotes from a diverse group of moms that I'm so inspired by, and other tips and things to just kind of guide and support a woman on her path to motherhood during the 40 weeks of pregnancy. And how it came about was when I was pregnant with my son, I was living in the Bay Area, far away from my extended family. And I was really looking for a resource that would help me explore what was happening internally for me on an emotional, spiritual, intellectual way. And what I found when I would go to bookstores or just kind of look at the resources that were available for pregnant women was that it was really focused on the physical changes that were happening. And for me, I was noticing that pregnancy itself felt like such a powerful initiation that had me visiting not only like the beautiful and exciting parts of life, but also the shadow parts of life, my fears, some childhood traumas, my relationship with my mothers and grandmothers, looking at my maternal lineage, and really just acknowledging that this is a huge transformation, and it's not just a physical transformation, and it's not just about like getting all the right onesies and the great crib and all the stuff that you need to buy, but that this is like truly a change and a deepening of a woman's life. And so what I ended up doing was I ended up writing sort of like my own journal to kind of get me through it, because I did feel isolated in a way. I was one of the first of my friend group to get pregnant, and I was working a job that I really loved, but there weren't any other parents around me in that job except for maybe a few other colleagues. And so it wasn't an environment that was really nurturing to the process I was going through. And I really kind of like wish there was that someone or something to kind of hold my hand through it. And so by kind of like just doing it myself, I realized, wow, these are all questions and prompts and meditations and resources that I found to help me. And I would love to be able to share it with other women. And since I didn't find anything in the bookstore, I was like, well, maybe I should just write one, because it's been such a comfort to me to get to really like explore the more spiritual side of motherhood and acknowledge that it's not just all like Instagram photos and happy, joyful things, but it's like, it's really more complex than that. And wanting to like give a space that women could explore that on their own and feel like they're not alone in the process.
I absolutely adore this. First, that you heeded this like intuitive pull to do that for yourself, because I feel that it's not often, and there's also life, like, you know, I'm sure you were very busy. You're also literally going through a lot of maybe the physical stuff that I also can now speak to experiencing that can be distracting and maybe like depleting of your energy, but then still really creating like a container for yourself, which I think is incredible and, you know, not easy for everyone to do. So how did you begin? Because you mentioned some prompts and questions. Was that how you started? Was literally just a journal and asking yourself questions?
Yeah, I started to journal about things like redefining motherhood for myself and asking myself things like, what's your biggest fear of becoming a mother? Because what I encountered when I was pregnant that really surprised me was I felt a lot of shame. And I really didn't know at first where was the shame coming from, because, you know, I was a grown woman, 33 years old, had a good job, had health insurance, you know, did all the things that one is expected to do in our society. And yet I felt tremendous shame, and it felt so vulnerable to be pregnant. It felt like such a public thing that was so sacred to me. And that, you know, so many people around like have opinions and mostly, you know, good wishes and are excited, but it is such a personal thing that I had to start to dive into where was it coming from. And what I learned was that a lot of the sort of programming and conditioning that I had received as a child was affecting my feelings about being pregnant, about being a sexual person, you know, publicly, or being a creator or a creatress in the world where, you know, where I was working, it was more of what I would call like a masculine environment in terms of just the culture and the energy. And so here I was really slowing my pace, really gathering my energy inward and needing a lot of nourishment and a lot of rest. And the pace that I had been going wasn't going to be sustainable for my pregnancy. And also the way in which I had been taught to be accommodating, to please others, to always be kind, were starting to become a hindrance because I was realizing that I had been taught to put others before myself in a way that wasn't going to work as a mother because I already, being pregnant, had to prioritize my health and the health of my child. And that included energetic health. So if I was around a situation that felt volatile or angry or just like not harmonious, I would actually start to get morning sickness symptoms and have to like go throw up. And I started to notice the pattern of every time that I throw up, I'm actually like purging kind of like a negative thought or energy. And so, and that was true for me. It may not be true for other people, but what I was realizing is that every time I'm throwing up, my body and my spirit are actually saying, like, you can't hold that thought or energy in your body while you're holding this baby, and you can't be around those kind of situations while you're carrying this life. Like, it's not compatible. And so I was learning a lot about boundaries and about shame and about inherited beliefs around women's power, women's creativity, the way in which we create by just being and not efforting as much. I mean, of course, being pregnant is an effort and it is, as you know, physically demanding, but I'm always so amazed that we don't have to sit there and try to make an ear or make a liver. Like, we are inherently so creative. We are such incredible artists of life. And this actually like makes me cry every time I think of it. Like, we can make a human form that has its own spirit, its own destiny, and its own will. And that creativity is so incredibly powerful that if we really sit with that, if we really start to understand like what we're capable of making, then everything changes. Because if you can dream up another being who can survive on their own and be a sustainable like organism, you know, that has a life and a liver and an ear and an eye, what else can we make in this world? We can do anything. That's the power that I think we tap into. And yeah. So we go from shame to incredible power, basically, in my story.
You touched on so much that like everything, every line of what you just said, I feel like we could go on a tangent, and I am experiencing like real time. But what I want to kind of tune into, because I feel not only have I found it surprising that I was really struggling with this, or, you know, kind of some of these shadow and programmings that really show up for us to look at while we're in this creation process. I feel that in our modern times, and as you know, really creating this journal for the need of women who are out there, that these modern times are not sympathetic to this kind of experience. And I would say for everyone, but especially for highly sensitive people. And so mm-hmm. I would love to really dig into this concept of these programmings and the shadow pieces that are coming up. I can share a little bit about like one of the ones that came to mind as you were speaking. So you had mentioned the slowing down piece, and mm-hmm. I am one with a lot of energy, a lot of like I could say, you know, force. I'm a manifesting generator. Like I do a lot, and I am used to being able to have the capacity to do a lot. So for me and my experience in the first trimester, where it was like pushing the brakes, it was not me pushing the brakes. It was like I was in the car and the car was pushing the brakes on me. And I was forced in the middle of a launch, by the way, like I was like launching a program because my pregnancy, while definitely wanted and accepted, and I'm so excited, was not planned. You know, it really, I guess, put a wrench, so to speak, in my so-called planning, right? My three-month plan of like business and life. And so here I was, like literally in the middle of a launch, in the middle of servicing all of these clients and having to hold a container for others. And I literally couldn't get out of bed in some days. So it was such a humbling experience. And I noticed that not only did I have a lot of resistance to that, and I really had to surrender and like constantly surrender, 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 but I also noticed a lot of these, well, we could say, you know, sort of shadow forms or beliefs about myself that I didn't actually think I had began to surface, like the not enoughness, right? So not feeling like I was doing enough. My partner was doing so much and I felt so much guilt around it. But as you were saying, it's like literally we're in this creative process that eventually is seen, but in the first trimester, not so much, right? So I'm curious, and I'm sure that this is a common thread for so many people, especially in this day and age when we're really expected to be productive, to do, and we're constantly told that we're not enough. I'm curious what, if those were also some of those shadow things that came up for you, but what else came up for you that was surprising?
Yeah, that absolutely came up for me, having been raised to kind of equate worth with productivity just by the culture at large, and realizing that, yeah, I wasn't going to be able to function. I've been very kind of, I suppose you could call it type A or however people define that, where it's like being good in school and being conscientious at work and always trying to do all the things. And once I was pregnant, really realizing that my life was going to change in more ways than I realized. And I think that that's a big shift from maiden to mother, that we don't prioritize in our culture or really acknowledge how big that shift really is. And I think a lot of women suffer from that. And I certainly ended up suffering from postpartum depression due to the fact that I was having such a hard time integrating my new identity. And so one of the things that I've done in the journal is to really prompt pregnant people to examine their shifting identities and the things that they do love about themselves, and visioning what kind of mother they do want to be and what their values are, and not just equate who they are with what they can do in a day or a month or a year. And I think, yeah, it's definitely a conversation that I hope will happen more for people, because once we quote unquote like leave the workforce, even if it's just for a couple months, if we're lucky enough to get time off, you know, after birth or something like that, or right before, a lot of people do sort of plummet in terms of their mental health because they don't feel like they're part of the world anymore. And yet here they are actually creating the next generation and nourishing the next generation. And so our culture, I don't think we honor it enough. And I think the other thing I would say that really surprised me was that the idea of self-care became way more complicated to me once I was pregnant and once I had a newborn. Because what I came to realize is that our culture, as you said, is really not built for thriving families. And it's not really built for supporting life in the way that I think would be healthiest for mothers and children, and also fathers, or and all birthing people, you know. And what I came to realize is that, you know, not to like romanticize the past, but we are built for a village life where we would be living intergenerationally, often with many people who had have birthed and cared for children. We would be around people who've known us since birth, so we wouldn't feel maybe as isolated or alone in the journey. And also, you know, in many cultures, we would have been connected to not only nature, but the cycles and rhythms of life, and kind of understand that there's a blooming time and there's a wilting time and a time to go back to earth and a time to be quiet and to regenerate. And so in our culture, I think we're often trying to be blooming every single day, every month, every part of the year. And it's really not possible and it's not sustainable. It's not really how, you know, if you look at nature, that's not really how things work. It's not a constant bloom. And so there is a time when the leaves need to drop and regenerate back into the earth. And just like even realizing the unhealed parts of ourselves and our inner children on this journey. And so that's part of what I want to, you know, open the conversation. I do this very early on in the journal where I am just like, okay, let's talk about self-care first, because I want to just acknowledge that if you're feeling lost or alone or exhausted, it's not your personal failing. Like, this is actually a systemic issue. And we don't have the support and the deep wells of nourishment that we really need to thrive as parents and community members and people who can really nourish ourselves even. And so I just hope, and I'm always trying to think of ways, like, how can we support new parents more? How can we have them feel like they're interwoven into our society, even when they're in a stage when they have to be resting and really calm and really focused on this tiny life that they're growing?
Yeah. I think this is so huge, and this, I'm definitely feeling this pregnant, being separated from family. It sounds very similarly to your experience, kind of being isolated in a different place, that you don't have close proximity to maybe close loved ones or that sort of intergenerational experience, and COVID, right? So there's like that happening over the past couple of years, which is interesting because I feel like there's so many people that I'm seeing that are pregnant now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and like maybe planned, unplanned, like who knows? But I just feel like there's more to it than just sort of like this boom because we've been kept indoors for so long. I really do think that there's, you know, there's a greater plan here. I definitely have received a lot of messages around the new babes that are coming in, this new generation. But I digress. Coming back to sort of that, like that island type of feeling and the disconnections there. And I'm curious, what, if anything, have you found to be almost like maybe a supportive proxy, because unfortunately, like we don't have the reality that we used to, as you were saying, where there was an honoring of the intergenerational family or support of community. And so have there been any ways that you see others being supported that, you know, won't take necessarily take the place of that, but that can definitely maybe assuage any kind of, you know, challenges that we might experience because of that loss?
Yes. And I feel so much for mothers in this time and parents in general in this time, because it is really challenging. And what was already an isolated society is now becoming even more so. However, I do see some really beautiful things happening. And one thing that I suggest in the journal is that each new mother create what I call a council of mamas. So when I was pregnant, I was looking for who can I turn to for advice, or just to be able to have a chat with someone who's been there, which felt so vital to me at that time. Like, anyone who has been there in terms of pregnancy, birth, and motherhood, it felt so nourishing to talk to them, just to be around them. And of course, now, you know, we might not physically be able to be with everyone, but my suggestion is that every new mom create a list of maybe 3 to 5 moms that they really admire, that they feel that they look up to in certain ways or have traits that they would like to emulate or take inspiration from, and write down, you know, their name, their contact information, and just maybe even ask them like, hey, would you be willing to be on my little council of mamas as I go through this transition? And I was lucky to have mothers around me like that, some who had just given birth like 5 months earlier than I did, and some who had older children or even grandmothers, and having those perspectives to be able to turn to, especially in those times when, you know, a lot of people were like Googling things like, okay, is this normal? Is that normal? But it's so nice to talk to someone who's actually been through it and has the perspective and that sense of calm because they've been through it, especially in the postpartum period where things can be, you know, a little bit more chaotic just because you're learning how to care for a newborn. And it's like, oh my gosh, is this normal? Are they latching right? You know, I'm having trouble with breastfeeding, this, that, and the other question. It's just so nice to have someone to call or even just text. Like in this day and age, to be able to just text someone and say like, hey, I'm having such a hard day breastfeeding. Like, I'm so tired. And for them to be like, yes, like, I've been there. You're going to be okay. Like, if this is temporary, it might feel like it's not temporary, but it's going to be okay. Those are those conversations that just save me, even over text, or someone to just send you a funny meme or to just check in on you. You know, I think a lot of people really focus on the health of the baby and they sometimes forget about the mother. And I think our society is changing for the better in that regard. I'm starting to see way more resources about how to nourish the mother. Like there's the book, The First 40 Days, that has like beautiful recipes for postpartum. And I'm also seeing a lot of like doulas and midwives providing support that's not just physical support, but also emotional support, which I think is really important. And I suggest that in the journal as well, as part of like a postpartum plan, is to have someone that's not your romantic partner that you feel that you can trust to confide in about how you're doing emotionally. Having someone you can just call and say like, hey, I'm having a day where I feel really scared, or I'm really nervous about, you know, X, Y, and Z. And having that, I think it makes a huge difference, because I think isolation is one of the things that is a challenge for mothers more than anything else. So yeah, Council of Mamas, I think, would be really good.
That's such a brilliant idea. And I feel like there can sometimes be apprehension around reaching out to for a lot of people, you know, because I know that in general, I mean, I guess I won't make a statement for everybody. I'll speak for myself, but it always has been challenging to ask for help. And when you initially had spoke into like the needing to create boundaries, right? The need to maybe place limitations on how much you show up for others. That's been really challenging in my experience, but it's like every day leaning into that, surrendering into that, and like feeling how good that can feel to stand tall in your truth of saying no, or saying not right now, I can't be here. But one of the most challenging ones for me has been to reach out and to ask questions, to call someone and to pick their brain, so to speak. So I think sort of setting this intention and having it almost like as an assignment in the journal can give us a little bit more permission to cultivate that for ourselves, because I think it's really, really important.
I totally agree. And I struggled with that so much as well. That was one of the major shadow things that I witnessed in myself while being pregnant and having a newborn, is being able to ask for help instead of going into like a suffering in silence or a kind of like martyrdom victim sort of feeling, which I just learned so much about asking for help. Because the truth is, it really isn't a one or two person job it really is, they say a baby belongs to the village, but it's not just a platitude. It really is a community effort. And there are so many things that you really just can't plan for, or you can't know until you're there. And so the mothers that have come through for me and given me perspective and given me things just like, oh, here's a cabbage leaf to help you with your, you know, engorged breasts in the beginning of, like, I would have never known that that would have been helpful. And you just don't know until you're there. And I totally agree. Asking for help is so hard, and we're not really taught that, but part of that surrender and that trusting that the village can hold you, because the mother really needs to be mothered herself. That's something I learned really the hard way, of how much I needed to be held while I was holding this life. And not just by my romantic partner or, you know, my husband, but really by the earth, by the elements, by my ancestors, by my guardian spirits, and by my friends and community.
Yeah. There's so much there to support us once we start looking, I feel like, you know, but I think because we so often in today's world default to isolation, or to, like, you know, muscling up and figuring it out ourselves and Googling shit, like, that becomes kind of the default, instead of really connecting in with maybe the council that has always been there. But it's just like, we have to identify who the council is for us and call them in a more explicit way. So I love that that is a part of the offering in Rooted. I'm curious, in terms of the formatting, I'm so excited to get it. I'm just like, all these questions. But in terms of the formatting, is it like, are you going by trimester, or is there some kind of path that you have, or journey that you have us, that you're going to be taking us on through this journal?
Yeah. So each section is by week. And so it starts with, well, before week one is like the dream. And I consider that, like, yeah, the dreaming of the seed. And then week one is the seed of new life. And it continues through the three trimesters and looking at a different topic each week. And I actually wrote these while I was pregnant. So I was going through the journey week by week, kind of looking at what theme I was going through. And of course, you know, it's not universal. Every pregnancy is different, but sort of in terms of the journey of what comes up physically, that kind of also changes the energy and the emotional and the spiritual side of things. That's how I made the journey. And my idea really is that Rooted is this idea of, when I was the very beginning of feeling pregnant, I felt that something was really rooting into me, like there was growing roots, and that I was becoming grounded into the earth in a way that I had never felt before. Mm-hmm. And from there, something sprouted, and then there was the stem, and then finally there's the blossom and the birth. And so we are growing this seed, really. And my feeling is that rooted mothers make the world bloom. Because when a mother can be supported to truly root down when she's pregnant and when she's newly with her baby, so much can grow in a really strong way. I learned this the hard way, because in some ways I wasn't fully rooted and I didn't have a great home base. I traveled a lot. I tried to work too much. I really had a difficult time transitioning from maiden to mother. And so it took me way longer to really get rooted. And my intention with this journal is, like, if I can help anyone make it a little perhaps easier or different in getting the support to root, then maybe it won't take as long. Maybe they won't suffer the way that I did with postpartum. Because I see the seeds of the postpartum depression were definitely planted, you know, in the beginning of my pregnancy and what I went through. And so I was kind of like, in making the journal, I was working to heal myself and trying to find my balance and my rootedness. And my hope is that it makes it easier for other people.
I love this so much. And just nodding as you're speaking. I mean, well, my company, Wildly Rooted, is really like kind of a life mantra for me because I'm so airy and in the ethers so often and watery that it's like a constant reminder. And, you know, I partnered up with a very earthy Taurus who also helps me to ground. But by far, as you were saying, this pregnancy has made me experience a kind of rootedness that is not like, I don't even think, I'm just still in the middle of it. So I don't think I've experienced the complete expansion and wholeness of this feeling, but I've never felt more embodied and rooted than I have on multiple levels in this process, in this journey. And yet, so many areas of my life I'm feeling are being uprooted through my rootedness. Mm-hmm. And so having said that, I want to see for you, like, what were some of the things that you found, if any, were starting to uproot within your life once you did get pregnant and entered into motherhood?
The first and most powerful thing that comes to mind is my sense of boundaries and inner warriorship, which really became activated when I was pregnant. I suddenly saw how I was expending my energy and I understood what my priorities needed to be because it was almost like I didn't really even have a choice. It was like, I have this much energy and anything that's taking my energy unnecessarily, that's hindering me in any way, I literally don't have the room, capacity, or interest to deal with it. And so I had to become much more clear in my boundaries and in my just allocation of time and energy and effort. Actually, in terms of my, like, I used to procrastinate on things. That is gone. Like, motherhood transformed that. I don't procrastinate on anything anymore because I don't have the time and I don't have the need to do so. It's when I need to get something done, I do it right then. Mm-hmm. So it's like efficiency in a really healthy way for me. And so many areas, which I mentioned before, where I was really people pleasing and doing things, maybe saying yes when I wanted to say no, those are wiped away. And part of that, I also think about the energy of the child that you're bringing onto the earth. I think it really transforms you. I think it, and we know from science that it does transform your DNA. And I felt the warrior energy of my son really come through my being. And I feel that he's a teacher to me and his role is to teach me how to be more of a warrior in my life. I've made choices that for the first time that people around me maybe didn't agree with or they didn't like. And I was not used to that. I was used to being the good girl, but I knew that this is what's right for me. This is what's right for my child, for my family. And so while it wasn't easy, it gave me a strength that I really didn't know that I had.
Beautiful. Yes. Oh, I'm feeling that. One of the things that I have definitely experienced and I share often with my partner is like I feel the energy of this being in me and the difference between us, like how different this being is and how with our energies intertwined and in some ways in unison and syncing up, I can take on some of that energy that is not characteristic of me. Like, I feel a lot of fire in this one and like more impatience and audacity. Like, there's an audaciousness with this energy that is almost scary to me. You know, I feel that I can be audacious in some realms, but overall, I'm a very easygoing person that likes to like sit back, observe, watch, be very cautious in how I move forward. And that is not the energy that I'm carrying right now. So it's a trip. It's a trip. And so I just want to honor that. And maybe anybody else who's listening, who's also in this journey, like noticing those beautiful energies that are intermingling and maybe honoring that, like taking some of that medicine, like you were saying.
Yeah, totally. You know what comes to mind too is when I was thinking about things to support pregnant people is creating an altar for the pregnancy. and really calling in the allies that you feel that you have or that you want to support the transformation. Things like a photo of an ancestor that you really love, or a seed of a tree, or something beautiful that reminds you of the ways in which you're supported, whether by the elements or nature or your ancestors, or something you loved as a child, or a little angel figurine, and to actually tend to that altar, to visit it every day, and perhaps make offerings like milk, honey, cookies, something traditional food that you have in your culture, and really feed that. Because that's another thing, as I reflect on people having a hard time being supported just due to the pandemic and being away from family and things like that, is that, like you said, we really do have support. If we tap into it, we can really nurture that support and anchor it into our 3D physical reality with something like an altar.
I love that idea. Something too that I feel like I didn't consciously, even though I have altars, I didn't consciously think to create an altar for this experience, which is probably one of the most expansive initiations of my life, I would imagine, which is interesting that I didn't think to honor, you know, but I have like an altar for like a whole bunch of other stuff. But I feel that, and I think I saw this happening with some friends and even my sister, where there was like this organic process of gathering items, like gathering things, putting things together, curation. But I love the intention behind like creating an altar specifically for this and curating that for us energetically. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Or even in that gathering, and I love that gathering phase. It's so beautiful to me because it's really, to me, built on hope and beauty and welcoming of this new spirit that's joining our human family. And I'm just so touched by that because babies bring such generosity of spirit with them. It lights up something in the family and it ripples out. And so I love the idea of, even like if you're out walking, maybe you gather a few beautiful stones that you want to put on the altar and then have them be a gift to your child for their little medicine bundle or whatever's relevant to you culturally and traditionally. But we are so connected to nature, and maybe there's something that really speaks to you over the course of your pregnancy, whether it's like, okay, I really feel connected to water, or there's this one cedar tree that just, I'm always smelling it when I'm pregnant. Maybe that is some kind of ally, both for you, but also for the baby, that you can sort of cultivate and pass along.
Yeah, that's so lovely. And I feel that even just having a journal like yours to guide us in the process, because I have noticed that, like, I'm a researcher, I like to gather a bunch of stuff in terms of information and, you know, like items that I know are supportive, or maybe herbal support, things like that. But it feels very scattered and hodgepodged and like, I guess, intuitively led, but also reactionary. And I feel that having a journal like this creates that container, as you're saying, that can guide us and hold our hand through a process where the mind space can clear up so that we can really connect in with that heart space and the spiritual process that's happening through this journey without having to, like, I don't know, because I just noticed that a lot of times I have the checklist in my mind still. And I just want to put away the checklist sometimes. And so having this as a guide, and I'm curious if you found that to be true for yourself. Is that like part of also what this process allowed you to do?
Yeah, I think there's something really special about writing by hand on paper, which is different to me than using, you know, our digital tools. And then especially in an age of social media, where the checklist could be never ending. The amount of super cute gear is never ending. Like, I'm totally guilty of, you know, scrolling Instagram and being like, oh my God, that's so cute, I need that too. Yeah. And really being able to give ourselves the time to sit, to contemplate, to turn within, and have a little bit of a structure around that, I think is really healthy. And it's helped me a lot. It's also helped me in recovering from postpartum depression by really having myself in my own which I stopped journaling for quite a while, and I realized I really had missed it. And my intention with Rooted is really to have it be a space that people can make their own. So there's blank pages and there's just space to doodle and draw or make checklists if you want, you know, and just have like a space where you can empty your mind or write down your fears or anxieties or hopes or joys or ideas and let it be a place of inspiration and comfort. And what I want it to feel like is someone holding your hand in a gentle way journey.
I'm curious, as I hear you speak about it and I'm sort of connecting the energy of Rooted, and once I receive it and journey more into it, and I think I'll probably have discussed it, my experience, a little bit more in the pre-intro since I would have received it by the release date. But do you have like a vision that is connected to Rooted of, well, first of all, like how this will really support folks going through this massive initiation, but also creating sort of a community? Because it just feels like there's inherently, organically, a community energetically around this, Dorote. And I'm sure you've already tuned into that or cast that, but I just felt the need to ask the question.
Yeah, thank you so much for saying that. I really have thought about that. And that is what, for me, has been the most important part of getting healthy and feeling supported as a mother is community. And I would have loved to have had even like a Zoom group to get to tune into each week or each month when I was pregnant or taking care of a newborn. I think it would have really supported me on a lot of levels. And so I have been thinking about ways in which this could become a community. And I think that probably certain types of people will be like attracted to the journal and want to talk to each other, or maybe even share things that they've experienced while journaling or thought about in a different way because of the prompts. And I'm still thinking of make that happen, but that would be a total dream for me. And also, one of the pieces that I feel really strongly about is intergenerational relationships, like pairing women who are maybe more in the grandmother age with mothers who are just starting out on that path. Because I've gained so much from having relationships of people of different ages and experience. And I also think that a lot of grandmother age women, elders, are not really being seen or valued for the incredible wisdom that they carry and how much of their heart is ready to be a mother to the world once they complete mothering of their own children. And I've learned a lot of this from Susan, our mutual friend and mentor, because she really is such a person who shows up as more of an elder. I mean, she's quite a young elder, mm-hmm. but she's been a real mentor to me. And I want to be able to tap into that, because I think a lot of women of that age really have a lot to share and are becoming more and more invisible in our society. And I want to sit at their feet, to be honest, and just like, and benefit from their humor and their perspective. And just like, even my mom, she's so funny. She'll be like, oh, don't worry, your kid will probably be able to eat with utensils by the time they're 15. So don't stress it. And I'm like, you know what? That's such a good That's so true. Here I'm all stressing out, like, oh my gosh, she's messy, you know, he's due, whatever. And it's so wonderful to have people who've really done the whole thing and can look back and really also help you appreciate where you are, like, wow, you're pregnant. This is such a sacred time. Enjoy it. It'll be over so quickly, and help you really be in the moment that you're in.
That's so special, so special. And it's interesting because when I moved to Oregon, literally my very first friend and then like my subsequent like next four friends were all elders. Like, they're all in their 60s or 70s. And so it's been interesting because it's almost like having that just before like this seed was planted and I got pregnant, you know, and then I have sort of this council of elders who can support me in a time when like I'm away from family, which I know is very special and not accessible to everybody. But I guess I didn't even realize until it all happened the kind of connection and the gifts that come from that intergenerational relationship, as you were saying. It's so special. And I think it's such a, like, the unsung heroes, you know, of our communities. Like, it is so hidden and in our society, like, not seen as valuable. And it just blows my mind that, like, being connected and just wondering, how did this even happen? You know, how did this all go awry? How did these communities and families just break up? And of course, that's a whole nother discussion in like 5 different podcast episodes. But here we are. And so anyway, I just wanted to honor you bringing that to this space and really speaking into that, because I think it's incredibly important. And we're at time. I don't know how much more time you have available. Do you think you can hang on for like 10 more minutes?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Well, I wanted to touch in on a little bit of your experience with the postpartum depression. And while I know that that is postpartum, but it is part of the pregnancy journey, as you were saying, and you had alluded to like certain seeds that you felt were planted during your initiation and pregnancy experience. And the reason why I just want to kind of highlight that is because working with so many women, it's so much more prevalent than I think we realize and not talked about a lot. And so I'm curious if you would be comfortable sharing a little bit about that journey and maybe elaborating a little bit more on those seeds that you were seeing during pregnancy that kind of led to that for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that some of those things were not fully looking at some of the shadow things that did come up during pregnancy. And, you know, I was writing in my journal and I created Rooted out of it, but it's something that has been a challenge for me. And that's why I work on it so much, right? Like, that's why I'm doing the work and made the journal. And so some of those things were not fully healing, the idea of sort of comparing and competition and being an achiever and sort of like that type A personality where things really do turn into a different pace, especially with a newborn. And the accomplishments are not as easy to measure because they're of such a domestic nature that they're not something that we've been taught to value in our society. And so you can go to bed at the end of the day being like, what did I just do? And it was keeping a newborn alive and, and healing your own self, right? But we're like, well, what did I do? Like, what can I check off the list? And so, yeah, that can be a challenge. And also a lot of cultural myths and expectations about bouncing joyed and just falling in love with this baby, which of course happens. But that's not all that happens. And because I think our culture has a hard time with grief and mourning, and we don't really give ourselves the space to grieve and the opportunity to really feel what we're feeling. There's so much distraction. There's so much social media and Netflix, and you don't feel you can just dive into another distraction. And so I think that, you know, for pregnant people who are willing to actually sit with their really feeling and being really honestly being truthful to themselves about how they're feeling. Because I think one thing that I hit against is that I was in denial with myself about how I was really feeling because I thought, okay, I'm going to push that emotion aside because it's not what a pregnant woman is supposed to feel. There was a phase that I went through when I was pregnant and
physically, right?
Quite heavy and burdened in the sense of like, I couldn't move fast. I couldn't jump. And it was so new for me. I had never been pregnant before. So I would look at women who were not pregnant with a bit of envy, to be honest. And I would just think, oh, they're so lucky. They can still run and they can still sleep through the night and eat whatever they want and just feel, be carefree. And of course I was just projecting, you know, my, my issues. But I also would beat myself up about feeling that way. I would think to myself, you know, okay, Dorte, like you're not allowed to have those thoughts and feelings. You should only be grateful. You should only be happy. You should only be like this ball of motherly love and light, right? And it's just not the case. We're human. And so things come up and they're not pretty and they're not fun to look at. There might be resentments that come up to your own caregivers, realizing, oh, wait, maybe that wasn't so cool that they did that to me now that you're in that role. So a lot comes up. And I think having the relationship with yourself of self-compassion goes a long way. I certainly learned it the hard way later and had to really come to terms with my own emotions, right? So if you can be truthful with yourself, to have compassion for what you're going through as a human, going through the full spectrum of emotions and not just joy and gratitude, I think that people will be way better set up for that postpartum time to be able to just also ask for help and know that they do need help because they are having a hard time. So I hope that's helpful. There's so much to be said on that topic. Like, we could have a whole other podcast about it.
Totally. But I think this is probably, you're hitting on one of the like foundational things that I see also connected in with general dis-ease too. Like you had mentioned your experience of purging the negative energy that you were exposed to and how there's something that seems to happen, this kind of sensitivity and fluidity and flow of energy during pregnancy that like opens the doors for one to look at the truth of what of your experience. And then it becomes a choice, like you were saying, you know. And I do feel that it can be incredibly subtle because we're so apt at hiding it from ourselves. Like we are so good at that. And so it's almost like this is an invitation to cut the bullshit from ourselves and like to really look at this stuff because it is such a beautiful opportunity and time to do that that can allow a lot of evolution and transformation, as you were mentioning. So I'm sure you create some space for us to really dive into that in Rooted as well.
Yeah, I really hope so. I think that pregnancy is a great opportunity for awakening and for deepening and becoming who we are meant to be. And I think that it's challenging for a reason. I mean, people have different experiences, of course, with their pregnancy, and some people really enjoy it and have a wonderful time, and others have more things they're going through. But I think that if we can view it as an opportunity to get to know ourselves better and to really practice, like I said, that self-compassion and understanding of where we're at and where we might need some tenderness and some holding and some nourishment, then I think we are really set up well to be a nurturer of not only our baby, but of ourselves. And if we can do that, I think then we really can be the best parent that we can be, because if we're not caring for ourselves, then it's hard to care for others. So yeah, I really hope that women will have that opportunity to, women and birthing people. I'm of course learning how to speak about that better, but yeah, that's my intention.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Well, you have given us so much already, and like we don't even have the journal. For many of us don't have the journal yet. If you haven't pre-ordered, I highly recommend that anybody who, if this is resonating for you, to reach out, to get rooted, and to go on this journey, give yourself that gift. And I'm curious, Dorte, obviously, we have Rooted as a resource, but were there any resources or books that were really helpful for you that you would just like to name in your process during pregnancy and the initiation into motherhood?
Yeah, and I actually created a resource page on the Rooted website so that people can find things that I would recommend just from using them myself. I would definitely recommend the book Like a Mother by Angela Garbes, which gives a historical and cultural background about motherhood in our society. I also really enjoy The Fourth Trimester, which is a book about preparing and working through the postpartum time. There's a really lovely book called The First 40 Days that has recipes for nourishing new mothers. And I just found out a book that's coming out called Motherhood Facing and Finding Yourself. And I haven't read it yet, but it looks really interesting by Lisa Marciano. And I can't wait for that to come out. I think it's coming out really soon.
Beautiful. Awesome. When I went to support my sister, I kind of was like an official postpartum doula for her when she had her baby in 2020. And we did a lot of recipes from, what is it, the 40 days? And
yeah,
Mother Bees and that company. So, so delicious and lots of really beautiful tidbits and stuff that we found really helpful there. Amazing. I'm excited to dive into all those resources, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I added some books, some body care and supplements, some clothing that I really liked wearing when I was pregnant, and also some other courses and parenting supports that I found really helpful.
Sweet. Oh, I love it so much. And of course, we cannot end this interview without asking you, Dorothée, what is one thing that is currently feeding your wild, whether that's body, mind, or soul right now?
One thing that is really helping me right now is taking my bare feet and going to stand on the earth in my backyard, feeling the sun on my face, and really imagining that there are roots coming down through my feet down into the earth and tapping into the heart of Mother Earth and bringing that energy back up with a lot of gratitude and letting that energy go into my womb space, into my heart, and feeling connected to the greatest mother that there is, which is our earth that's always holding us, whether we feel it or not. So that's what's really helping me.
Well, I'm just going to go do that right now after we get off our call, because that sounds amazing. It's a beautiful reminder to plug back in to our original mama. Thank you for that. And thank you, Dorothée, for not just like showing up today and giving us so much beautiful information and resources, but for really honoring the invitation, the call to create this and to put it out, the courageousness that it takes to put it out in the world. Like, it's a big project and a feat, and I just want to express my gratitude. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Vanessa. It's been a total honor talking with you, and I'm so glad to connect with your beautiful community. And yeah, I can't wait to see what's next for you as well. I adore your podcast, so thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I feel like right in this journey, like, I don't even know, honestly, anymore. I've surrendered all of my planning because none of it is working out. Where can everyone find you, Dorothée? What's the best place?
Yeah, so rootedmotherhoodjournal.com is where you can find the journal and the resources that I mentioned. And I also have a podcast called Moonwise, and that's at moonwise.co. And I'm also on Instagram at Dorothée Royal. And through that Instagram profile, you can find the Moonwise Instagram and the Rooted Instagram as well.
Awesome. Thanks again, Dorothée, for your presence. Sending you so much love.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Hey there, I made something for you. One of the biggest challenges that I hear from people is that they are feeling stuck when it comes to their health. You're a smart, capable, and creative change maker, right? And you know what you should be doing for your health. So what gives? Well, it's not about willpower. And I wanted to create something that would help you to unlearn the things that are keeping you stuck so that you can get out of your own way and master the mindset of health. That's why I created Wildly Unstuck, where you'll learn the top 5 things that I have found to sabotage your health goals and what to do about them. You'll learn what it really takes to become committed and unstoppable when it comes to your health goals and find the clarity you've been looking for so you know exactly what to do to get back into alignment. And I made it totally free. So if this is something that you want to dive into and create a vision and soul goals for your health and your life and bring your gifts to the world, because we know that we need it, then I invite you to join us in Wildly Unstuck. You can find that at wildlyrooted.com/unstuck. I'll see you on the other side.